NADVI Mobile.
WBAE monitoring. Anybody alive?
Hold on, let me check. Yep, what's up, Walt?
Oh, nothing much, Sean. How are you? Did you make it to the swap yesterday? I lasted about an hour. Had to sit around with other people and chit-chat. That was the reason I went.
No, I'm not. I had a big project last week. I was off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I was finishing up yesterday, just trying to recover somewhat, kind of sore, and finished cleaning up a little bit and yard work, stuff like that, in preparation for getting back to the grind today. So I thought about it, but I'm kind of sore from we demoed a garage over the week, and there's a lot of lifting and tugging and hauling stuff, and this old body pays for that.
Yeah, I know. I haven't contacted you about, you know, going to the tempo, but my legs just won't do it. I went through a real bad spell for a while. I don't know why. I have no idea. Anyway, went to LARC the other day. That was a lot of fun. And went to the swap yesterday. Oh, Richard Castaway. What the hell is his call? I got it written down in another room. He always had the Collins stuff. Lived off at 23 Mile Road. Damn it. Anyway, just found out he passed away. I've known him for years. I'm bad on calls.
Yeah, I don't think I knew him. I heard about that. I know who you're referring to, but I didn't really know him. Yeah, and you get a watch. And then, of course, I don't know if you and I have talked since AE always eating passed, but that was sad. Anywho, well. And as far as the Sunday thing goes, yeah, you let me know. If you ever want to go, like I said, even if you want me to pick you up, if you want to do a chair, you know, we could do that. Or we can just go to 168, do the wonton, and make it our little variation of the show.
Well, the beauty of 168 is we can do a little grocery shopping.
There is that, and you know, it's not far from the Polish market either, so you can do, you know, two stops in one.
It'd be what, a BY and an SP prefix shopping?
That's right, maybe you can find one of them Eastern European women with the boots and the go-go skirt. You, Maddie?
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, getting back to the swap, it was small. The people who planned it knew it. Attendance, I think, was just under 100, don't quote me. Sitting with the gal who graciously volunteered to take, you know, sell the tickets. And like I said, I lasted about an hour. Sat with HTV. He was selling stuff. And you know, people from the Larkin Park, the USECA members that I've known for, Christ, 30-some years, and it was a good visit. And I always wanted to go into that Bruce Post there, BFW. The property is prime. I mean, if they ever sold that property, I'm sure that it'd be well north of $1 million. You could put 100 condos in there.
Yeah, that is a nice spot there, and that house immediately to the south of it. There's a street there, and there's two houses on the corners. My daughter and son-in-law, they owned that corner house there. That was our first house. And down the end of the street had its own, you know, little lake access, and pretty cool, pretty cool. So quite familiar with that post right there. But that was before Texas. They were there for a short time, and then they were thinking about buying a place in Detroit. They would have bought it right at the right time. You know, Corktown's on fire right now. But before they had a chance to close on a place, and they actually put in a couple offers, but before they actually had a chance to close on a place in Detroit, we got the call to Arkansas, which lasted about a year, and then they were in Houston for all that time. So that was their first home, and now they're back in the neighborhood. So, but yep, that's a nice, really nice little stretch there. And it's always a shame, though, that how the whole lakeshore is taken up by private property. You know, you look at down at Grosse Pointe, and they didn't know such thing. They all had the lakeshore is public, so they can do it in the points. They can certainly do it elsewhere.
WBAD, yeah, the whole strip along there has some beautiful homes, and every now and then tucked in there is one of the original homes, you know, from God knows what, 50s, 60s, 40s, and nothing pretentious, more practical. That's one thing about today's homes, you know, you got that foyer, as it's called, you know, two-story foyer with a big chandelier hanging down, or you could sit, or looked at night with through the window, and it's useless. I know you grew up in a house just like mine. This is all I need for Charlene and I when we had the son and grandson living here. More than enough. Practical. Yeah, I haven't turned the air conditioning on in two summers. Had the house re-insulated. Just, you know, well, that's just me. Sort of stodgy.
Yeah, that's one thing about my place. The insulation is really bad in it, and it's an old, you know, wooden siding over wood slat, you know, kind of construction. So just it's really, really poorly insulated. It leaks like a sieve. Got that old red blanket insulation in it, and it's not even, it's old 40s thick construction, and I don't even know if they could get new insulation up there. I'm going to do something with it. I don't know if I'm going to white box it, in which case, you know, I could strip it down to the studs and then re-insulate it or something, or just something else. But I'm going to do something with it going into retirement here, because it doesn't really suit what we want, or what we need, I should say. But you're right. Something like yours, God, that'd be ideal if we had something like that right now. I think there's some things in these new homes that have become standard. The kids have you know, come to expect now, the younger generations, that, you know, we didn't have any, you know, necessarily, you know, we never thought nothing of it. I mean, if we had a bath and a half, why would you need more than that, you know? And, but I could see, you know, three bedrooms, two and a half baths, one bath exclusively for a master suite. I know it sounds pretentious, but it's not. I think that's very practical. So the, you know, the owners, the homeowners have a master suite with a big walk-in closet. That's kind of that's a good thing that's come out of all this. And then, you know, and then two bedrooms that share a bath, and then a half bath for you know, for visitors and stuff like that. You know, so they don't necessarily have to go to the full baths that are, you know, so. And I do like the open floor plans. I like the kitchen that opens to the living area and the dining area. I like that, whereas things tend to be a little bit more closed off. Although the house you're in, you know, it has the knockout to the family room, and it's wide open to the dining, which is wide open to the living. So you kind of almost get that open, you know, feel. Not quite like they're doing now, but those homes did a pretty good job of that. I also liked in those homes, like you've got there, they had that little room in the front that, you know, you could keep that real tidy and pretend like you're somebody. So when the insurance guy comes by, you can sit there, the Fuller Brush Man, you can sit there and he doesn't have to see the pigsty you actually live in. K-E-8, are you H?
K-E-8-R-U-H, I'll pass it in a moment, my friend. Yeah, you mentioned about all that stuff in the house. You know, don't forget the house I started the life in Hamtramck. We had coal for heat, and then you would get the kerosene heater type thing. It was vented going in the winter. Then the old man would go down and shovel the coal and stoke the furnace. We had an ice box. We waited for the iceman. I made it. And you're right. You know, you make the money. And my number three son has a house in Chesterfield Township on a cul-de-sac. And it's all open. It's all, you know, he had some custom touches done to it. And, you know, he's got the money to do it. RUH, pick it up and pass it to Sean.
Just wanted to say good morning, gentlemen. Heard you guys chatting and listened for a few minutes and figured I'd jump in. I was one of the 100 people that made it over to the swap yesterday morning. Was just there, in and out quickly. Drugged my dad along and then went and had some breakfast. And it was okay, like you said, Walt. It was pretty small, but worth going to. There's a radio there that I almost bought, left it behind, and don't feel guilty about it. So had a good time, though. And, Sean, I think I heard you say you did some demo over the weekend. Did you guys end up demoing the garage on your own? Over to you, Sean.
No, I had a two-man crew come in, and they did, you know, the lion's share of the work. God, they worked hard. Didn't speak a lick of English, but, boy, they knew thumbs up and thumbs down. My son and I pretty much just, you know, made sure that it was, you know, we had a lot of, you know, we had to haul this, haul that, get this out of the way, move that, you know, just to let them do their work. So I did a fraction of the work, and I'm still sore. But I actually had hired a couple of guys to come in and pretty much do the real work. Filled up a 40-yard dumpster to the brim. There was not another room. There wasn't a room for another thing in that 40-yard dumpster. In fact, there were a couple of garbage cans that were left full because couldn't fit them in the dumpster. So, yeah. But, well, glad you made it to the swap. I'm wondering what, when it comes back around, Anthony, I'm wondering what radio you passed on. And I got to decide on a coffee here this morning. Walt?
Yeah, Anthony, when you walk through the door, there's an elderly gentleman sitting on his walker, Bill, hell of a nice guy. Just got into the hobby. He attends the Lark in the Park, and his health is just declining, balance problem. And I'm starting to suffer from that myself, not whining, don't get me wrong. And there were some good deals there. There really was. It wasn't big. It was like heaven's waiting room as far as the age group went, and I'm part of that. And it was just pretty neat. I went there for the fellowship, and I lasted about an hour. I walked around and sat down quite a bit. Over to you, Anthony, and draw it out so Sean can make the command decision on what coffee.
I think the gentleman you were talking about, Bill, I think you said was his name, was the gentleman that had the radio that I was looking at. He had a, I believe it was a Yaesu FT90. It's a little, like, really small 25-watt mobile that I had read about in the past and appears to be a very cool radio and would be a very cool radio to put in a some sort of like go kit or a bag, but it was, he wanted $150 for it, which is probably a fair price, but just was not in the budget with all the other projects that I have going at the moment. It would have been a fun radio to have, and maybe one day I'll regret passing on it, but I don't feel bad today that I don't have it. I got enough other, like I said, I got enough other projects that are taking up my time and money, so I don't need to worry about the $150 radio that I left behind. Hopefully you've chosen your coffee, Sean, and I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, waiting to make my turn in here. I'm gonna go to Tropicana. But anyhow, well, that's I know that radio kinda, and I think it's a little mini thing, a little compact thing. So, if you don't, if you're not worried about passing on, that's like me. I certain things I see and stuff like that, and I put in like if I do the eBay thing, I'll put in a really, like, if I get it for this price, I'm going to be, ecstatic. And I don't care, and if it, like I said, if it goes for a dollar more than that, that person's ecstatic, $1 more. And could I have got it for that? Sure, but I'm not playing that game. I make my decision. It says, okay, I'm going to pay $50 for that thing or $100 for that thing, and that's it. And if it goes for $101, I don't lose a minute's sleep over it. Just go, it's like, couldn't live without all of it. So, half of what I got, that's for sure. But, you'll get something. You just gotta keep your eyes open. Okay, it looks like I have found the Tropical Cafe drive through here. Time for me to order. Walt, W8FU.
WB80, Anthony, I'm not familiar with the radio you're referring to. If it was a G90, the Chinese 20-watt radio, for $150, you passed up a deal. If it's another radio, forgive me. I'm not being, not bad-mouthing you, but, they went for $450. And if it was a G90, they got a hell of an antenna tuner. The plus is, it would be well worth the money. The minus is, if they break down, they don't have any service facilities to get the radio fixed. Anthony?
Hey, guys, I had to take a call. I will jump back in when I have the opportunity. K-E-A-R-U-H.
Okay, Sean, I'll be back. I got to make a pit stop. WB80. WB8E has returned.
All right, who's still here?
Just I, WB8E. Well, I forgot to make mention, I was styling and profiling at the slop. I had my 1988 Field Day t-shirt, my the satin type Yusika jacket we ordered about 30 years ago. My baseball cap with my call on it. Just looking outstanding.
There you go. Hey, I don't have a anything call sign related. It took me years to get something call sign related. Well, you didn't necessarily say it was call sign related, but it took me years. I think we were down at Finley one year, and there was a guy making hats, and I figured, what the hell? I've never had one, so I got a call sign hat. Wore it twice, I think, including that day. So then I just realized I don't have anything with my call sign on it anymore.
Yeah, the 1988 Field Day was interesting. I think the temperature was 104, seriously. We were out on a private property off of Indian Trail. I forgot who got us there. They had a spring-fed pond. And KEABM Dan, who was in and out of the hobby, got on the air and said, I'm coming back and get my camping gear, and I'm going to spend Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday out here. Oh, man, what the hell? Oh, my God. The guy that went to Belize. Oh, Jesus Christ, Walter. Can't you remember? I can't remember his name and call. Darn it, and I've worked him 100 times. Been over his house in Roseville. Anyway, he was there with W8B Bob, they were doing CW, and Anyway, we had a hell of a time, and I said, anybody shows up, they're going to get a free Field Day T-shirt. I was vice president. The president was out of town. He never did shit anyway. And we wound up having a big Field Day. That was the kickoff of the Field Day, and it worked out so well.
Did you have to buy T-shirts for everybody? But, that was Joe Pontek, K-A-J-P, Joe Palooza. He's still around. I think he's still kicking. I'm not sure. Did he pass? I don't know.
I don't know. He relocated to Texas to get into VA hospital system from Belize. He was staying with his daughter. And every time I worked him, he would call me Bob from Belize. I'd go, it's Walt E. Oh yeah, he could never get that straight. I haven't seen him on Facebook in years. I know he was in bad health, but I assume he passed away.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I remember he moved from Belize to Texas, and last we spoke, he was in Texas. I have lost touch with him like you. I haven't seen anything. But I didn't see a lot of him. He would just, like, every once in a while pop up. But I've seen nothing in quite some time, so I am wondering if, maybe he's, let's just say he's not on the Internet anymore. So hopefully it's just because he's bored with it and got better things to do chasing BX.
Yeah, he's a heck of a CW operator. I thought I'd do it this summer, but I haven't. But this winter, and we're getting close to winter, I'm going to get on CW bands. I've lost my ability. I know what the call is, but to repeat it instantly, I'll lose the prefix. Mother Nature and Father Time have caught up with this old Jaja, but I'm going to get back on the air.
K-8-R-U-H.
I have just arrived at work and have parking, so I will not be in here. But go ahead, Anthony, and I will listen out, and I got to get inside.
All right, Sean, have a great day. I didn't catch what you were saying about, I made mention of the radio that I left behind, and I think you had some comments about it, and I didn't hear what you were saying. My wife called me, so I figured I should probably take that call. But I'd love to hear what your comments were.
Oh, no problem, Anthony. It was a gentleman sitting on the walker, okay, Bill, as you walked in the door. I don't know what radio he had in front of him. I was just more interested in why he was getting out. He's been having some health issues. A wonderful man. Anyway, if it was the Chinese G90 for $150, I mean, if that was his radio, I'm talking about, that was his Larkin & Park radio, he probably had 4 hours on it, I'm not exaggerating, if it's the same radio, the Chinese 20-watt G90. Like I said, they did sell for $450.
Okay, yeah, the radio that I was looking at was it was a Yaesu FT90, and it was a dual band, I guess you'd call it a mini mobile. It's a small, probably the size of an envelope, smaller than the size of an envelope, and an inch thick. If I had to guess, maybe 4x6. Maybe 4x5 is the measurement. It wasn't an HF radio. Because I agree with you. A G90 for $150.
Yeah, okay. I was way out of the ballpark as far as what rate. But, yeah, there's some deals there. There really was. And, like I said, I lasted an hour and seen all my old friends and kibitz with people. That's the fun of slops. I do not consume in any hobby. Well, I shouldn't say that. When I was walleye fishing on the Detroit River, I had a addiction problem of buying pencil plugs and spoons. That was a good run in life, believe me. Having a boat well on Alter Road, a little 16-foot aluminum boat, a meat wagon, and a lot of fellowship. And then the Lake St. Clair Walleye Association meetings, that was great.
Yeah, that's cool. That would be fun. Yeah, there were probably some deals to be had. I went just to kind of see what I could see if there was anybody there I knew, just like you. And I was probably there for half an hour, 45 minutes at most, and then went to breakfast with my dad. He is not a ham radio operator, but he has managed to become interested in anything and everything that I've ever been interested in. So it's pretty cool. So he likes to look around and see what things are and try to understand, and I do my best to try to figure out and explain what they are, you know. I'm still relatively new to this, unlike you fine seasoned gentlemen. I've only been doing it for a few years, so I have a ton to learn.
Yeah, I used to hunt a lot, really into fishing. I still love ice fishing. And when I got hooked on the Detroit River, actually it was from the CB days. We used to, a group of us had CBs that we had a modified, you know, for the above channel 40. And all we did was use them for walleye fishing in our vehicles. It was pretty interesting. I had a 8-foot Francis Whipper on the bow of my 8-foot aluminum, and that radio, which was peaked and everything, and on channel 90. I'd be fishing this time of year. We fish right till ice up. I'm serious. The guys on Western Canada would come on, and they'd actually go, "Hey, Walt, are you out there fishing on a river? Are you home?" Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Not the 10-4 good buddy type attitude. I was in my late 30s, and I had my kids young, by the way. Not that I had to. Got married young. Had my first son at 21. Yeah, I just turned 21, and he was born about 2 months later. And so anyway, 3 sons later. And when I got in this hobby, none of them were interested.
Are they still not interested, or have they taken a liking to it years later?
Oh, no interest whatsoever. My oldest is 62 years old, so, you know, they've done their thing. My youngest, who is a hell of a walleye fisherman, his shtick for years has been fast boats. He just dumped his boat last year, put it on the market for $130,000 and had 5 qualified people come look at it. I stretch the word qualified. You know, he's not the type to say, "Oh, gee, you're going to offer me $75,000 and, you know, let me do you a favor and I'll sell it to you and take a loss." No.
That must have been a pretty nice boat. I know boats get expensive real quickly, so, but still, to be demanding that kind of money is a pretty nice boat.
I wasn't bragging, Anthony. That kind of boat to me is useless. I mean, they haul it up for the poker runs out of Traverse City, you know. Just not my shtick. I've always been a 16-foot aluminum type person, a meat wagon. And but I used to hunt, pheasant hunt, deer hunt, been out to Wyoming twice, the Upper Peninsula many times. But then actually I got out of hunting just for the fishing, Detroit River, and ice fishing. Used to love ice fishing, especially on the Canadian side. You know, I was younger, you get there you know, crack, the sun is coming up, you're fishing, by the time noon is around, you're about through, and they used to call them hotels. You're not old enough to remember that, but in Canada, they didn't have, like, bars or in those days. And they had the best draft beer. Me and my, I'm Polish, they sent me and my Polak friends. At noon, we're doing the Boombas, drinking like mad. Champagne flights all the way home.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I did not think you were bragging at all, so don't worry about it. But that's funny. Yeah, things are a little different years ago, and the way you could call and still get things done, I guess you could say. But yeah, I enjoy fishing a lot. Don't get enough of it in. I am actually. This weekend I'm headed up north to go salmon fishing with some buddies, and then I'm going back up next weekend with one of my buddies, my daughter and his daughters, and we're gonna be fishing on the Pierre Marquette River for the salmon run, and I'm excited. I've been doing it for about 20 years now with some buddies and family, and then pretty excited that my daughter wants to go and try it out and see what it's all about. So, yeah, I got a couple fun weekends ahead, that's for sure.
Great, great. I give you a lot of credit. In my lifetime, I've met people that said, you know, when I retire, I'm going to do it. And retirement didn't work out health-wise, no obligations, grandchildren. And I did everything as a young man, young adult. You know, everything, and never regretted it. But we used to fish for Belle Isle Bank.
Hey, Walt, I lost you on that last transmission. On, I think you were talking about fishing for Belle Isle Bass. But I got a split here. I just parked in the parking lot at the office, so I will be clear on your final. I'm sure we'll talk one or two more days this week. Seems like I'm always in the car when you're on the radio. So we will connect soon. This is KARUH, and I will be clear on your final, Walt. Have a great day.
KCKJ listening. KACAKJ listening. Good morning, everyone.
WAFU. WAFU. KZ8Z. What's going on, Sean?
Well, I'm just taking my bicycle into the bicycle repair facility and get it tuned up, grab some brunch, head back to the shop. So, how about you?
Just doing my normal Monday morning stuff, catching up a little bit. Thinking about going for a walk around the sub. A walkabout, a blockabout. I'll do a walk around the block and coin the phrase blockabout. There you go. Hey, did you hear earlier what's up with the person on GMRS playing Jody Girl? Now I got that dang song stuck in my head. Oh.
Yeah, I think it's because that one guy that gets out there calling Jody Girl all the time. I think he, it's that's what generates it, but, let's see, service entrance. Aha! I'm where I'm going. So, but anyhow, he just does it. He's on the Mount Clemens repeater, and I'm sure it's a ham that's got nothing better to do. And, usually is. You know, they make fun of the CBers and the GMRSers, but it's usually some disgruntled ham that's got no life. But whatever, it doesn't bother me. It's just, you know, nice thing about a link system is just go to one of the other repeaters and talk perfectly fine. But I just pulled up. I got to run inside and drop this thing off. I didn't realize I was this close.
Well, cool, man. I'm glad I caught you. I'll go for my walk. You get your stuff done and enjoy that brunch. Man, that might be the best meal ever. Okay, 73, Sean. KVAT.
KZ8Z from W8FU.
KZ8KZO is out here at W8FU. How do you
know? Ooh, that transmission was pretty crunchy. Made it kind of tough. Was that KJO or what, who was that?
How is this? Is this better? I'm on Echolink now, KZ8KJO.
There you go. You know, it's funny because you were like loud and into the system, but like breaking up. It wasn't like you were weak. It was very strange. But anyhow, you're sounding fine now.
Yeah, I decided to just jump over to Echolink. I'm sitting at the kitchen table, so, and I just got that little Baofeng HT, and I was just kind of pointing it outside the window kind of thing.
Wally, are you playing with something? Who's got something cross-linked? Turn it off.
It was I.
Yeah, I thought so. That's why I called for you. I heard your call sign. And it says, what is KPP doing right now?
Yeah. Well, when I hooked my All-Star node up to my base station, if the scan head goes on, it don't like it. What I think I'm going to do is I'm just going to put that frequency in a different zone, so that way that doesn't happen. That probably would be my solution.
That might be. I heard something was crazy going on there, so okay. Anyhow, okay, back over to, what was it, JJO? God darn it, I should know your call. What was the name out that way? I forget. Jim, was it?
Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Easy way to remember it, how Wally does it. KC8 Cujo. And it's Tom, Tango Oscar Mary.
All right, Tom, sorry about that. So just didn't want to leave you out. I just saw something was going on. Wally, how you doing this morning? Just Tom and I out here warming up the ionosphere. Well, not really.
Very good. So very familiar with Mr. Memphis Tom. I could call him Cujo because I could never remember his call sign. J-K-J-O. Cujo, Mr. Memphis, how goes the surgery? How goes the recovery? How goes everything? I've been kind of like off the radar for the last three weekends. Why one weekend married, one weekend honeymoon, other weekend over in beautiful downtown Pawpaw watching one of my buddies get promoted to fire chief. So today I am back in the saddle. So, Tom, go ahead. Tell us how your operation and recovery is doing.
Well, I'm sitting here at the kitchen table. I had to take the neck brace off because it was bothering the beans out of me for wearing it since the end of September. Technically, I'm not supposed to take it off for 2 weeks. Surgery went well. Swallowing is still a little bit of an issue. Of course, I got this big lump in my throat from where the incision's at, so that's still healing. Guess it's some type of coagulating foam that they put in there to make sure there's no infection, so I'm okay with that. But just moving slowly and steadily, anything more or less if I bend down to pick something up, well, I could fall over. So it does throw your equilibrium off a little bit. But besides that, just resting well, I'm off until the end of the month.
You know, I should probably know this from previous conversation, but what'd you have done?
All of our wonderful frequencies, digital and the analog, and all those things. I see that there's been some experimental stuff going on with digital on KFAS with them, so hopefully he gets that all resolved and be mainstream, and everybody can inform everybody on that. So, but other than that, it's been good. Sean, what have you been up to?
Well, we doubled, but I've been demoing a garage, so back to work today, so back to normal. And I was just asking Tom what the surgery was for. I heard his neck, but what was that for? And I do got to make a quick phone call here, so after that, after I get the info from Tom there about what happened, if he's inclined to share, I'm going to drop out for a few and make this phone call, and because I got to make another stop before I get back to work. WAFU, Tom?
I had 3 discs replaced in cervical 4, 5, and 6, I think. And then titanium cage infusion for the 3 vertebrae. So it was all from severe arthritis in my neck. And it was pinching nerves, and I was losing dexterity in my hands and tremors and all this other wonderful stuff. So hopefully this corrects the issue and I can get back to a normal lifestyle. TPP, go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got to get out of here. The car's out there running and I had heard it and I turned the radio on and it started scanning. So I'm kind of known for cross-linking things when I don't really mean to cross-link things. So if you ever hear anything cross-linked, look me up, because odds are it's on my end. I'm trying to figure out all. I got it all figured out, but just sometimes I just do some stupid things that I know I shouldn't be doing. So it's just kind of like the ways of the world sometimes. But this All-Star, if you don't have everything just right, it does it. So I was playing around getting my little bass radio, pseudo bass radio, to work with my All-Star node. It works good. A little plug-in in the back of the Motorola radio, connected little block, blue block, to a white terminal. It all works good, but you got to make sure it doesn't go anywhere else except for that simplex frequency, because if it does, it picks up whatever it picks up and retransmits it to wherever the ALS is set at. ASL is set at. So, lessons learned. Been turned off a couple times for doing stupid crap like that, but whatever. So I think I'm just going to move the All-Star channel to a different zone, and I'm going to put just that channel in the zone so it can't do that. So if you ever hear things going that way, give me a ring. So, and I guess we still got to get you some sort of digital Pi Star. Were you able to hit anything digital up your way or not?
Negative. I got my TYT sitting here, and I try to find something in the area, and it just says no. Well, at least on the MI5, and I don't know about any Brandmeisters up here in Memphis, Kimball area. So, and I know that Sean was working on getting me a first-gen PiStar, at least something to play with, and start getting into that. Besides that, I just use the Echolink for right now. But, yeah, and then I think there was somebody else on DMR that we were talking with that has a – there's a operator, someone over here in Columbus that can reprogram this thing with the OpenGL and get it all reformatted so it has a lot more benefits to it, I guess. KGL.
Yeah, if you're up there, it's almost a necessity, and then it opens up the world to you. So both of them, All-Star and PiStar, it'll open up the world. Lots and lots of different stuff. So, and then there's some interesting articles. I don't know. Is KFA, I guess, around? You around here anywhere, Dave?
I heard my name, KFA Death.
Yes, Wally. Hey, can we give Tom that website, the one website where you do all your postings and stuff, give him something to read while he's recovering?
Yeah, it's on the, it's public, so, yeah, anybody can go to it. Just go to, just look me up on QRZ and you'll follow the breadcrumbs. It's probably the easiest way. And, or look up the WC8MI on QRZ. There's a link. Follow that link and you'll go down the rabbit hole. It's KF8S, Kilo Foxtrot 80.
Yeah, Tommy's still there.
Yeah, I got W8CMI, I got a search for, and then Rob's KF8S, I got that. Of course, my dogs like to bark at every delivery truck that drives by the house, so they were going crazy. I had to stick my ear and bend my neck, which was not fun, to pick up a little bit of the audio. But I think I got it. Yeah, so I got a TYT MD UV380, and word on the street is there's a way that it can be reprogrammed for better DMR, and instead of using the software that it came with, something new, different firmware, and modifying the radio for more play.
Yeah, we'll start with Dave's website. Excellent reading, very knowledgeable, explains a lot of different things, and it gives you a good base to help you get started. Assuming OpenGD77 is what you're after on the other things. So, guys, I got to go. Dave, I'm going to hand it to you real quick, and if I don't get to work, I'm going to be unemployed. I'll talk to you guys all later. N8KPP. Go ahead, Dave, if you're still there.
Yeah, just the OpenGD77 stuff isn't over there, so you'll probably have to go search YouTubes. Just go on YouTube and look up OpenGD77. Somebody's probably got a thing over there, or Captain Don's webpage, or YouTube channel W8CPT. If you go look him up, he's probably got a OpenGD77 video. And you might even be able to get in touch with him too. Just email him on QRZ, and he lives right near you. He's in Columbus, Michigan, so he might actually, if you get frustrated with it or can't figure it out, he might actually be able to, take your radio for a day or whatever, program it, give it back to you, or at least flash it, and then you can program the CPS, the code plug. So I got to get back to work, too, so I'll listen for your final, and then we'll chat later. This is Dave, KF8S.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and check them out on QRZ, see if I can pop an email to him or something like that. It's easier for him to do it, because I really don't have time to do a lot of programming, but I have no problem giving up my radio and my cable to someone who is a little bit more proficient in it. But 73 to you guys for going back to work. Stay safe out there. Try to stay a little bit warm. I know it's chilly out there. Me, I'm off to the end of October, so I'm just sitting here at the kitchen table staring at the laptop. So 73 to you all. Stay safe. Stay well. KCA KJL.
N8KBP Mobile.
Hey, Jojo.
N8KPP, KC8KJO. What's up, Wally? KC8KJO.
WFSM, KBSW.
Doesn't nobody know nothing about this scanner? Something BRD from W8FU. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Kilo Fox 8, Bravo Romeo Delta. How's your afternoon going?
I'm on my way home, so that's good. But, yeah, not bad. Weather looks nice. Only problem is it's a good day for a bike ride, and it took my bike in to get repaired, so... Gonna have to walk. Other than that, doing well. You?
Yeah, I took a sick day today. Back wasn't feeling the work thing, so just decided to stay home. But I gotta go back tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I took Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week off, but I had work to do. Some of it quite challenging, heavy lifting, and I'm feeling it a bit, and I was feeling it over the weekend, and I feel better today, but we'll see. If I go for a walk, at best I'll probably do is a walk. It probably won't be very brisk. So I'm pretty much recovered. I'll tell you, when you get old, man, you pay for everything.
Yeah, I tell you, the biggest lie my parents ever told me is, when you get old, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, that was a load. Because, yeah, I can do quite a bit of what I want, but I don't feel like doing it no more. And whatever I do feel like doing, maybe I can't, still can't do it.
Oh, yeah, I was just bitching about that. It's like... You work your whole life to do all these wonderful things in retirement, and when you finally get there, your body lets out on you, and it's like, you know, well, you ain't going to be doing that. Well, maybe not that. Well, you can do that, but not really the way you intended. So it's like, damn it, finally get here, and it's like, can't do these things.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll get to retirement, maybe. We'll see. See if this old beast of a body of mine holds out. I know the knees ain't, they don't seem like they're going to make it. We'll see, hopefully.
Yeah, I feel pretty fortunate to be in as good a health as I am. There's pretty much nothing I can't do. I just pay for it. But, you know, I can pretty much do just about everything. I'm weaker than I was, you know, as a young man, significantly. And I could probably get some of that back if I worked at it. But, you know, that's just it, having the wherewithal to, you know, get in there and pump iron and stuff like that. I don't know. And it's a lot harder. You know, back then I could, you know, back in the day I could eat what I wanted and, you know, then I could convert it to muscle. Nowadays I can't eat what I want, and what I do eat, you know, just as often converts to fat. It's like, it's harder to get back. And then I guess it's just harder in general with age, so. But enough complaining. I'm pretty, like I said, the point is I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. For 63, I can still get on my bike and do a century. I can run a 5K. I can lift a 12-ouncer up.
Hey, it's all about what all the good things you can do, right?
That's right. Yep. Oh, man. Tired. Boy, I used to burn the midnight oil. Yeah, I do enjoy my sleep now, that's for sure. I saw a thing online today. It said, you know, how long can we live? And they said there's, you know, they said, through modern medicine and developments and all that stuff, without taking into account the DNA breakdown and stuff like that, we could probably push it out to about 150. And but you got this DNA which just starts to deteriorate that you can't really do anything about. And they said they don't know that they could get past that, it'd be immortality. But well, they say, do you want to? I don't know. I suppose. Give me about 400 or 500 years. I'll tell you if I'd want to live forever.
Well, just basing on 44 years and what the outcome of 44 years is, I'm going to say there's going to be a cutoff. I don't think I want to pass the 3 digits.
Ah, you're still a relatively young man, so, yeah, you got, 20 more years, you might say, you know what, I could do 90, 100. 110. I want to go at, I don't know. I'm not afraid of it. You know, it's like I don't care that my mortality is getting closer by the day. But by the same token, if I could choose my going out, I'd like to go out fleeing from a liaison with a hot 60-year-old youngster on my motorcycle going instantly in a ball of fire in a crash.
And you get into that box and those flames, there is the smoke coming off you, huh?
Yeah, we'll see. That was always the joke, fleeing from a jilted lover's, bed on my motorcycle and going out in a blaze of glory. And I don't know. Nowadays, going to sleep and not waking up comfortably sounds good too. too far off for that. Not working on that one. So there's nothing prolonged. Of course, I got to eat well for that. You're not at that. Yeah, you're probably just at the point where your diet of your youth is going to have effects on your health. I'm well into it. I'm paying now for all my indiscretions.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. I'm reaching that point where I'm definitely going to have to start going to the doctor and go find a primary care physician.
Yep, you got to do that. They want to poke and prod and check things out after a certain point. I don't know if you've hit the, if you you've hit the old magic number yet. I think 40, isn't that where they want to start you on the old camera up the poop chute? That's always a milestone of sorts. But I don't know where they start that. I think it was 40. Yeah, I've stayed pretty good. Like I said, I take a couple of pills, nothing serious. I got one for triglycerides and the other one for type 2 diabetes, which I manage with diet and exercise. And that's pretty good. It's a pretty small number of pills and pretty good control. Most of the time, pretty good control, but, you know, that's the key. That's all the bad eating and stuff like that and crap. But enough on that. This is depressing, right? Which repeater are you on? I'm on the Warren repeater, the KFBI 442.6 in Warren. Which repeater are you on? I didn't listen to the courtesy tone to tell if you're on this one or coming in from elsewhere.
Well, I am on the NAOBU repeater, 4-4, I think this is a 5 offset, so 444 or 445, 575.
Yep, Mike's repeater out there in Dansville, right? Yeah, good deal. Sound good. So wherever you're at, I think we might have spoke before. I'm not sure, but are you in Mason? I'm not sure.
I am in Grand Ledge. Name's Jim, and we may have spoke before I started being able to mentally keep track of any type of call sign.
Wow, before you were able implies that now you're able. See, I can't still. I don't keep track of any. I've got to hear them, you know, 100 times and talk to somebody pretty regularly before it sinks in. But you only got to remember yours, right?
Well, that's the only mandatory one, right? Yeah, I just got my ticket in June, so I'm fairly new to it, but just like any of my hobbies I've ever had, I jumped in head first, so.
Yeah, well, this one can be as fun as you make it. It's there's a lot to do, and, you know, the FM repeaters are just one small, insignificant even portion of it. You know, they're a lot of fun, but they, you know, get at you expand out into HF and you start doing a little tinker in there, and there's a lot of cool stuff you can do there. So it's as much fun as you make it, and I've had plenty of fun with it, and I've been bored with it. You know, it comes and goes, it waxes and wanes, but I'm surprised at how many people are still actively in it. You know, you'll be doing something, and you know, there'll be a crew that, you know, you're doing it with and all that, and then people aren't doing that anymore, whatever that is, you know. And so you think, boy, you know, nobody's doing this or nobody's doing that, but then you go find out there's this really active group doing all sorts of stuff, doing this other thing, you know. So it's just, there's always stuff going on. There really is. A group that I kind of hang with right now, they're really big into POTA activations and All-Star nodes and digital, you know, tinker around, mostly All-Star analog, but, you know, they're also always tinkering around with different radios and stuff, but always something, you know, so there's always something, action going on, a lot of activity and all that, and it's good stuff. So you just got to find, what you like and dive in. There's plenty going on.
It's definitely proven to be a bit of a smorgasbord of fun. I like the HF stuff. I like the POTA activations. I've gotten a few under my belt. I actually just done two of them this weekend. Same park. I guess, seen a guy on there. He's activated that park 6 times, and I'm like, I'm going to top him. So.
Well, there's a lot of POTA guys out here. We're normally on a node, on a all-star node, so it's not there's not a lot of RF presence. We're debating that internally, whether we want a big RF presence or something. And then, but you'll hear the guys out here, and you might have worked them. If you do POTA, you might have worked any number of them between Captain Don, Davion, and Greg, and KGZ Dave. They're all activating, give or take. KF8S Dave, not so much. He's been busy buying a house, but he's also wanted to get out there and activate in the past. So quite a few guys here are doing a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I enjoy it. I like playing with the HF stuff. Kind of takes me back a little bit to when I was younger. I kind of got out of CBs when I was about 21. Women took precedence over my time at that point. So, but when I was in, you know, when I was into it, I was into it from 16 to 21, and the HF aspect kind of brings me back to the good part of that, but better, because, you know, now I can actually shoot some skip without, you know, having to be illegal.
Right, and, you know, and 10 and 11, of course, you know, they open when they want to, and they open where they want to, and, you know, you kind of get what you get, whereas, you know, you get into the ham bands, and, you know, now you can kind of pick and choose, you know, well, where do I want to talk, and, you know, and what time of day, and stuff like that, and, you know, you can't work anywhere you want at any given time, but you got a lot of choice as far as what you want to do and how you want to talk, and there's always, well, not always, but most of the time, there's always a little something open, you know, somewhere, so it does add that component to the whole thing. And there's a different flavor to the different bands. You know, the lower bands tend to be more regional and rag chewy, and you know, then as you start to get, you know, 20 kind of like does both, and then you get, you know, above 20 and it tends to be more, you know, one and done, generally speaking. It's very generalized, but yep, good stuff. So you will enjoy it. KF8 by 3 makes you. What did you got your general yet? Because that's going to really open up some doors for you.
38 NSC in a hole.
Yeah, I do have my general. Actually, planning on going for my extra. Somebody in Holt just kicked in there.
W8 NSC in Holt.
Hello, Nick. Go ahead and make one. Take it. You're on your way from work.
No, I actually went down to Marine City to pick up my car. I had some rear brakes put on it, but I have a question for you when you guys are all done. So go ahead and go around, and when you're all done, I've got a question for you.
All right, well, we're just babbling about whatever. So I'm not far from home. I got about 2 miles here, so I'll pass it over to Jim there, and then he can pass it over to you, Nick, and we can take it up then.
Well, by all means, go ahead. I'm just sitting here watching the boob tube, so you guys go ahead and, you know, whatever. KF8BRD, hopefully I catch you guys out here again sometime.
Good deal, Jim. Didn't need to break it up, but just heard Sean out here and I was trying to catch it a little bit. So. Anyway, my question. do you have any cables for key loader for the APX 7000 into the key loader?
Yes.
Any chance I could borrow?
Which key loader? And for the APX 7K? You made that clear. So which key loader? Because we got one of the new 5000s, and we got 4000s and 3000s. So which one of you got interface to?
Let me check with the central dispatch director, and I will have that information shortly.
Yeah, let me know which key loader you got to hook up to which radio, and I'm sure we can work something out. And all righty, let me know. Just you got my email, right?
Yeah, we can work something out. Make it work. Yeah, I have the email. I have your check. Both of you can check. That's the case. So are you going to be in the office tomorrow?
Yes, I will.
If it works out and I get the right info, I'll stop there on my way back from Detroit, if that's all right with you.
That all depends on the time. What time do you generally drive by my my work?
I can leave my office at 3, be there by 3:30-ish, or I can leave it early if I have to. I don't report to anybody, you know how that goes.
Yeah, I like to get out by 3:30, but if you're close, I'm not worried about it, you know.
Yeah, I'll make it work. I can buzz off at 2:30. I'll make it a work trip.
No, I mean 3:30 plus or minus is fine. If you want to do whatever you want to do, like I said, I didn't really want to twiddle my thumbs till 4:30. You know, if that was the situation. But yeah, it's not a big deal. So, all righty. Well, let me know, and you know, and in particular, give me the model numbers on the that you need to interface, and I can let you know for sure. But I can't imagine there's no combination we can't handle, so I'm sure we've got it.
Yeah, they bought her a key loader and didn't buy her any cables. That was a smart idea.
Well, you'll have to get them. Yeah, that's often overlooked. We ordered a couple of the new 5Ks, and you know, we're doing some AES upgrades to some equipment, and so we didn't have that in our 4Ks. So instead of just adding the logarithm to the 4Ks, we added we just got some new 5Ks. They are nice, and the guy sends us the 5Ks. I ordered them through our sales rep, and he sends 5Ks, and that's all they'll do. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa! I go, I wanted these for AES, but I still need them to do DES, ADP, all that stuff, right? I mean, they're kind of worthless to me if that's all they can do.
Yeah, I was with Dennis. We're doing the same thing. He was upgrading. He was showing me how to use it. It's not hard to use. It's nice and easy. I wish I could just get one myself and do it myself, but you know how that goes.
Oh yeah, no, you gotta sign away everything and firstborn and all that stuff, and yeah, it's agree to a tether, you know.
I'm okay with that. I don't know, you know, the price benefits the uses, you know.
Couldn't you just get Joe C. or one of them guys come out of North Metro and come down there and handle it for you?
Had I known that Dennis was going to come and do all my desktop radios, I would have taken him for $7,000, but I hadn't done that. I would just walk away from the keyloader for a minute. I know what I'm doing. You know, can I use it? Can I go up here and tell you use it? I was crawling underneath consoles while I'm doing it, doing all the BPMs. It was so hard for him to get on the ground.
Roger. All right, well, you got one coming, so there you go. Get your cables and that you need. It's good to have. They're not cheap, but they're nice to have, particularly if you blow out a key. So that's good. You guys doing your own keys? If you're doing your own, then obviously, you have to have it and whatnot. So, all right. Cool. I'm right around the corner. I'm got to be in here just long enough probably to hear you out, and we'll look for you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks as usual. I owe you lunch.
WAFU, ADP here.
NADDF mobile.
KGL mobile.
I didn't catch that whole call, sorry about that.
Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, KG8, KGL.
Well, good afternoon. You got Dakota here, heading home from Hall Road.
Hey, Dakota, it's Tom, KCKGO, Cujo.
You on your way home?
No.
That was weird. I got a no and then a carrier.
Well, I don't know where he went. Hello, Tom, if you're still listening, and Dakota, WAFU.
KCKGO, I jumped onto Echolink. My HD kind of crappy inside the house. Is this better now, guys?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear now.
Yeah, if I go outside, then the dogs have to go outside. They run around and bark and wrestle and everything else like that, and I stand on a picnic table and stick my hand in the air with my tinfoil hat. So I figured I'd just jump onto Echo Link, see how it goes for there. How's it going, Dakota?
I know what you mean. I'm just on the fringe and have to do very similar activities to get another repeater. So I just use a clear node. I'm doing good. I'm ready to get home. I think we got Sean in here, too. Sean, you still there?
Yep, I'm just bouncing between stops here. I got to get out here in a second. I just thought I'd get in and say yo, let you guys carry on.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know that I talked to Captain Don, and we're going to meet up within the next couple days, and he's going to rebuild my TYTMD for me.
What's wrong with it?
Stock firmware. He's going to see if he can put the OpenGD77 firmware in it for me for a little bit more modification. It's a UV380, MD-UV380, so I think 3-4 years ago, and was just getting into MI5 on it with you guys. And he talked highly of him, so I chatted with him on the phone and going to see if he can modify it for me. So I can play with it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's OpenGD77's complete firmware.
Yeah, that's what you guys are telling me. And then I got W8FU, Mr. Sean there, working on getting me a base model PiStar at his convenience. And then I'll plug that into my internet here at the house, and I'll have a little bit more communication through AllStar.
Do you have a handheld Yagi?
Huda, what? Say that again.
Handheld Yagi or Yagi. It's like they look like an arrow, basically. It's a directional UHF, VHF antenna.
No, I was just looking at one of those online, but I got to save up for that money. It looks like they're about a buck and a half for a decent one.
I was going to say, buy a good one, get I think they're called, Arrow. Arrow antennas, I think I paid like $1.90 for mine. It was full duplex, which I don't think I really needed because I was using OpenGD77 with the Doppler shift, but I was a complete space noob novice and was able to make contact on the ISS a couple times with Captain Don and a couple of local guys.
Yeah, that's something I have to save up for. Wife wants to cut down a couple trees, so that's probably going to be about four bills right there. So, bits and pieces at a time.
Nope, I hear you. It's easy to jump in quick and rack up some bills.
Oh, believe me, I got a couple of those.
When I first got into amateur radio, I went nuts, and I bought way too much gear. And then I fell out of ham radio, and I sold a bunch of gear, and then I'm back in it, and now I have to buy all that gear again. So my advice is to buy once, try once, and then if you plan on sticking with it, just keep it. I wish I still had some of the gear I sold.
Yeah, all I got is I got my TYT, I got my Baofeng HT, and then I got a Olenko DR735T that I keep mounted in my service van. Bought a nice Comet MR77 for it, so I got a decent antenna with some dB gain on it. And then I got a couple older Olenko HTs that I picked up from a friend from work, so I might use those for for the ISS and stuff like that. Once I get everything all programmed, I get a little bit more extra time. Right now it's just enough for me just to sit here and keep my head straight.
Yeah, it's never ending. There's always something else you can get. All I've got right now is a Kenwood TH-275. That's pretty much my only radio that I use, whether it's in the truck or at home. And then I still have a VX-6R and a ICOM ICC-10 that I take out on Lake St. Clair when I'm duck hunting. But other than that, I'm pounding about nothing. I got a mag mount and a little Comet, and then a big Comet, and then I got some HT antennas, and that's it. And a clear node.
Yeah, we got to buy our toys a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. How I see it. I got a box full of Vertex standard VHF that I play with every so often. I want to get those programmed, a couple of them programmed for 2-meter frequencies, KGO.
The only problem around here, other than me, is there's not a whole lot of VHF going on.
Yeah, I figured that out. I pop onto the 47200 every so often and don't hear much on there. Yuseka sounds like it's pretty much dead. I think Ann Arbor, once in a while, I'll pick somebody up out there. But besides that, I'm usually on 440.
Yeah, the Yuseka stuff's been kind of a mess ever since I got my license. I've never had a whole lot of luck using any of their stuff. The two guys I'm talking about, they're good dudes. They're very helpful, very nice, good to talk to, but as far as the network and the repeaters and stuff, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, I agree. You know, usually when I'm out on the road, I'll pop on, like I said, I'm on FBI, and Rattleshawn's here once in a while to talk to you. I think Dave is out there, and Wally. And then on Mondays at 7 o'clock, I'm on the double nickel talking with a friend there on their nets. And this morning, since I got Echolink up on my laptop, I was on the reflector most of the morning chatting with their net.
Yeah, once you get a little all-star node going, it'll be a few easier for you. Just grab your HP, walk around your house. I put on Amazon, there's this little 14-inch tram antenna. It's a mag mount with like a 12-foot coax that comes off it, and that's the main connector. I put that on my clear node and it sucks the high beam in my basement. I can walk around my entire property.
Yeah, that's the antenna I just converted from. I got a tram sitting on top of my van too, so the tram right now is disconnected since I got my Comet. But, yeah, I'll use my tram once I get things all put back together. Connectors are easy to find. Unfortunately, radio outlet over there in Westland, they closed shop. So I'll just start ordering stuff online. Nope, you're dropping out a little bit. You still over by the Warren repeater, or are you switching over to Richmond?
Let me try Richmond here. I usually switch over to Romeo by now. I just went past 28-mile road on 53. But, yeah, GX Engineering, if it's over $100, you order before, I think, 4 or 5, it's next day delivery, so they're out of Ohio.
I'm going to have to check that out. Usually I just go to DX and see what they got up to offer on price and stuff. I did just find the Aero antenna website, so like I said, for about two bills, I could get a pretty decent duplex directional.
That's definitely a WACPT question, but I think he prefers the Aero. Don't quote me, but I think that's the one he likes the most. In my opinion, I mean, as long as you can there's an app on your phone that you can track the space station, the ISS detector. If you use that thing and kind of plot out where the thing's going, it's pretty easy to just point it at it and go. That antenna's awesome. I sold it to a buddy. I'm probably going to end up buying it back off of him. But, yeah, it was a sweet antenna. With that, I forgot I have an RT3S still with the OpenGD77, but the Doppler shift on it is the game changer because you don't have to do anything other than listen, aim, and talk.
Yeah, it sounds like it's some fun, like I said, but I got to put a couple bills together before I can go grab another toy. More.
The main problem I had with the ISS stuff was it was either in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day, and neither one of those were conducive to me sleeping, parenting, or working.
Yeah, same here. My normal service hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Get called out in the middle of the night for an emergency run and occasional weekends.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the office by 7 every day, and I'm leaving between 4 and 7 every day. So not much time to stand in a parking lot and point an antenna at the sky.
Mia would be pulling over to the side of the road, jumping out, sticking it in the air, talking to somebody, jumping back in my van, and then continuing on to my next job. My office is on wheels.
I mean, it's feasible. The passes are like 5 minutes, so it's not like you're preoccupied for too long.
Yeah, that I can understand. And I said, there's a lot of rest stops along the way that I go or jump off the freeway for a bit, park in the parking lot, stick it in the air, say hello, and then move right along.
Speaking of stops, Sean, are you still out there? I gotta hook up with you and either give you that amp back or just take the time to install it. No, Sean, still running errands. I've got I think it's a 5-in, 80-out amp, UHF amp, and I bought a new Comet antenna just so I didn't have my 40-inch on the top of my truck to use with this thing, and I still have not gotten around to hooking it up. I think literally all I need to do is put in a fuse tap, which would take me all of like 3 seconds, and I still haven't done it.
Is that for your personal car, or is that for your work car?
I unfortunately do not have a company car anymore ever since switching jobs, so I will be going in my truck because I use that THD-75 as my do-all radio. I've got it hooked up to my Comet mag mount. I've got it plugged into the 110 plug in my console, and then I've got a speaker mic for it. So, I mean, it's not as snazzy as a mobile, and it obviously doesn't have as much power, but I figured if I can get the power out of the amp, I really don't need a mobile.
Gotcha. That's what's nice about my work van is I have a built-in inverter, external inverter that they installed on a 200-amp fuse circuit. So I just tied my Alinco right into with the inverter, so direct power right from the battery through a nice big fuse, and that way when I'm pulling 20 amps when I transmit and everything else like that is, you know, I'm not blowing up anything else. Nice configuration I got set in there.
And ADDF, it is nice when you have a actual installation done rather than mine sitting in a cup holder mount from Lido, which, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world, but then you lose a cup holder, and if you take it out of the truck, you got to hook a bunch of stuff up when you get back in the truck, so I do miss having, my Tacoma had an ID5100 where I just started the truck and the radio turned on, and all I had to do was grab the speaker mic and I was on the air.
Yeah, I did that for a while with a Kenwood HD that I had. I just plugged in. I had the external cigarette lighter adapter, then I had a BNC, so PL259 with the antenna on top of the van. Then I upgraded. And like I said, now I got a nice Alinco, put a chunk of change into that, and then I just direct wired it right to the battery terminals, and I don't have to worry about power issues anywhere.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Like you said, you don't have to worry about power issues. Like, I just looked at mine. For some reason, it's not charging. So I think for some reason, if I lose a plug-in, the charger goes into some protection mode or whatever where I'm going to unplug it for a couple seconds and plug it back in, and then it'll start charging. Those are the inconveniences I don't miss. So I don't know. I keep hitting it on, but I don't really go anywhere, so I don't really need anything too snazzy anymore. I go from Elmont to Hall Road, and that's it.
KCHKGO. Yeah, I drive all over Southeast Michigan for my job, so I'm in my work van more than I'm in my personal truck. So put into my work van, talk to everybody out there. Personal truck is more or less my wife's, and you know, so go between her truck and my truck and her truck and my truck. I mean, I did have a modified cigarette lighter where I put in a 20-amp fuse, and that did the job, but all the cigarettes, all the power outlets in the in her truck right now are blown for some silly reason, so I got to check that out. Don't know if it's a blown fuse, but I just keep it in my van. If I want to talk anywhere else, I either use my HT or, like here, I use EchoLink either on my phone or on my laptop like I'm doing now.
When there's a will, there's a way.
Anything to get on the air, that's how I see it.
Excuse me, yeah, my old job, I had an FPM200 with a 2x4, Comet 2x4 on the car. I think I did 40,000 miles with that thing in like 18 or 20 months. And that radio was awesome because I was doing the same thing. You know, I'd go to Traverse City and back in a day for a meeting. Or I drive to Wixom every day for work, you know, from Armada at the time. So it was nice having, I wish I had a better radio in there at the time with banks, because FPM200 doesn't have banks, and I was always traveling to different counties. But it was cool just being able to kind of cruise anywhere and pull up a repeater book and throw some frequencies in every now and again, and jump on new repeaters and talk to new people.
Yeah, I did that a month or so ago going up to Petoskey. I just had my repeater book on my phone and looked up the frequency, typed it in, set up the PL, and popped on UHF and talked to whoever as I'm driving up 75. There were some dead spots, but I did get a couple QSLs in there.
I'm going to be noisy for a bit here. I'm in a low spot on 53. I remember there was a time when I was going up north, I was on 75, I think it was the West Branch repeater. I talked to the same group of guys for like 40 miles because it was in such a good location that I drove through an entire, it just had so much coverage, but I talked to the same group for, I mean, 35, 40 minutes just cruising.
Make the time go by faster, that's how I see it, especially on long drives. And from what it sounds like, you drive a lot yourself.
Fortunately, not anymore, but I do have every day a 35 to 40-minute commute each way, depending on traffic. So right now it wasn't bad, though. I left the office at 5:30, so they'll be home at 6:05.
Yeah, they moved my office from Madison Heights over by Oakland Mall up to, what is that, they're off of 75 in University. We moved to a new or a secondary office up there. We just relocated to an existing building and took over a quarter, you know, a portion of it. But besides that, like I said, I drive all over. And, I mean, when I say I drive all over, this is like my 10th service vehicle since 1998. So this one's only maybe about 4 months old, and I already got 18,000 miles on it.
Holy crap, yeah, you drive a little bit.
Yes, let's say roundabout I have 10 service vans since 98, and I put 160,000 on each. So, what is that, 1.6 million miles I've driven so far in 25 years?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's probably more than I'll drive in the next 10. Or no, way more than that. Probably the next 20.
Well, like I said, I handle 5 counties, I think. 5 out of the 7 in the southeast Michigan area. Occasionally I go out to the west side, or Petoskey was a special assignment. But I handle anywhere from Flint to Port Huron down to... Oh, Chelsea sometimes, and then, of course, all of Detroit. So I'm all over the place. I think I easily put on, depending on workload, 2,000 to 4,000 miles a month.
Tom, I don't know if you can hear this, but I'll be right back. I pulled into a gas station, and I'm, like, behind a bunch of buildings. NATDF.
KC8KGL still here, standing by.
Heading DBS.
KC8KGL? Is it N8DBF, Dakota?
Copy that. November 8th. Delta, Bravo, Foxtrot, Jesus, I need water.
I'm just trying to get everybody's call signs down, that's all. Because I know I've talked to you on DMR with KPP.
Yep, and he calls for my initials.
I got it. November 8th, Delta Bravo Foxtrot.
Copy that. But blowing up the house here. Probably be pretty noisy, so I'm going to clear out. I'll be there at yours. And goodbye to the
glad you made it home. 73 from now. KCHKGL.
WAEAP. Monitoring. W8RCY. Why? Because I'm asking. WAEAP. NAWOT. How's the new beds? The beds are pretty awesome. Sherry took right to it. I've taken a little getting used to. It's a little firmer than her other mattress, but it's growing on me. I'm happy so far. Good deal. Happened around here. A couple of days of laying low while Kerry was sick, and then back up to 1,000 miles an hour. Is cutting down a old tree in your future? I do believe so. Yeah, let me know. I've got, let's see, tomorrow morning I have a doctor appointment, and tomorrow afternoon around 3 or 4, I think I have a Zoom meeting. Wednesday's clear. Thursday around 11:30, I've got a meeting that's going to last about an hour. Alrighty. And Friday and the weekend also look clear.
You can see you going down to the lake this time of the year, or is it just spotty?
That's kind of spotty. They shut the water off, which complicates things a little bit, and then they can't really use the toilet, so we make other accommodations or use the outhouse. So it's not ideal, but the weather's really nice. It might be tempting to go down there.
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice because there's, like, nobody there, maybe just a couple of people in the whole campground. So it's super quiet, super dark because all the park lights are off. I guess to save money, but it's a pretty good time, actually, if the weather's nice. So is Carrie feeling better then?
Yeah, she is. I'm glad she was over there. She was miserable for 2 days. When she goes down hard.
Just a bad cold or flu bug?
Don't know. So far I seem to have skipped it, so I'm not going to push my luck. You know, people at her work have been sick, and then she went up and spent time with grandkids, so you don't know which way to look, you know?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but sometimes, you know, those kids, you know, they're like little virus factories sometimes, and they have, well, that's just the way it is. I have a doctor's appointment in the morning, and I'm sure they're going to ask me about a flu shot. I haven't decided what I'm going to say yet.
Every time I get the flu shot, I get the flu.
Sharon just got one. She didn't even know she got it. I mean, she's been a few days now, and so far, so good.
Yeah, I mean, make my immune system do the work.
I've been kind of feeling a little sickly and coughing up gunk in the last few days, but much better today. But it was since I inhaled all that dust cleaning the bedroom, I don't know, did something to me.
Yeah, I haven't been right, but I haven't been that far off. I've been having problems sleeping. They say the skies are pretty colorful, if you can see in that direction. I guess that'd be west from us, wouldn't it? Of course, I'm sitting on the east side of the house, so when I look west, I see the house. I'm going to have to get up and walk out in the yard and look.
A friend of mine just posted some awesome pictures of the aurora, nice greens and reds.
Yeah, so did one of my friends that was a mile or so away from where we're at. Hell, it's getting old. I'm getting old. I can't get out of the damn chair.
Yeah, I have almost no view of the northern sky from here. Too many trees.
Being protected by my watchdog. Are you protecting me, watchdog? Is there somebody out here? Watch him. See him? Come on. He's so silly. Started harvesting the garden.
How's the yield look so far? and I'm curious too. It's drying right now, so, you know, it's the slow part of the phase. I was hoping to get back home today and pull three more, but my day didn't go quite the way I anticipated it. Everything okay? Yeah. It's just sometimes when you try to be a nice person, it involves a lot of time. Yeah, no good deed goes unpunished. Well, I've been helping the neighbor with his barn. He's got a scissor lift, all right? It didn't work. Right? He says, you can have that scissor lift for helping me. And I said, I got one better for you. And he says, what's that? I said, we're going to buy batteries for that scissor lift, and you can sell it, and you can use that money towards your barn. You know, and he says, you know what, that'd be really cool. So I went and got batteries for it, went and put batteries in it today. And I had to figure out how to operate it and figure out it had a small leak underneath it. Had to figure out where that was, you know. So, you know, by the time I got home at 6 o'clock tonight, you know.
Oh, geez, but it's all fully operational now?
No, I got to come up to your area tomorrow. I got to come up to Cassie and Company and get a couple hoses that are literally 12 inches long made. Number 4 hydraulic line. Got to turn your beep off on the repeater. My repeater says beep, it doesn't go beep. Stupid cat standing on the roof of my Mustang.
Have you had your Mustang out at all this summer?
Yeah, I drove it the other day. I pulled it out. I pulled it out, washed it, wiped it down. Forget where I drove it. I drove it someplace. But now it's parked where it needs to be washed again because it's black. Every time you move it, it needs to be washed. Every time you look at it, it needs to be washed. If you blink your eyes, it needs to be washed. If a car goes down M36, it needs to be washed. If you mow the grass three houses down, it needs to be washed. You know.
Yeah, my Buick's sitting in the garage still with a pretty thick coating of dust on it. You can hardly tell it's black. But, yeah, it's still got that on my list to try and accomplish before the end of the year is to, you know, get that cleaned out, start it up, and drive it over to the quarter wash or something.
That's the sad part. I have a gas-powered power washer. That's where the car's parked at. But I also have a steam jetty. But it's out at the garage. Steam Jenny will peel the paint off of a car if you let it.
Yeah, I've got a power washer too, but I don't know. It's just something about going to the quarter wash and doing it. That's just what I'm used to, I guess.
Well, it's convenience. You can flip it over to soap. You don't have to deal with it, you know. I bought one of those soap dispensers that goes on the end of mine. Fill it full of, you know, whatever my magical car wash ointment is of the day, whatever I can scrounge up around here. And spray the car down with foam, and then I microfiber it and rinse it off and wash all the water spots.
Yeah, the quarter washes take credit cards these days. Make it real easy for you.
Here you go. That could get real expensive, you know, depending on how it was set up, you know. If you just scan the card once and it keeps charging until you're done, I would get carried away.
I'd have a $20 quarter, you know, quarter car wash.
I think you put your card in and it gives you, it takes out like $2, and then for however many minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, and then it starts beeping at you when it gets down to like 30 seconds. And then there's a little button you can press to add another 30 seconds each time, I think, something like that. So it's not too bad. It has a real annoying beep if you try to go too long.
There you go. All right. Warden, you make it out of there yet? It's Monday. She's probably having a Monday.
I don't think I've had that car, my car running in probably 4 years. So I hope it just starts right up and everything's okay. The gas is probably iffy, but it was race gas to start with, so maybe it's down to premium by now.
Yeah, 2 days ago I fired up my welder. I got a Lincoln welder generator. You know, it's like 11,000-watt generator and welder, AC-DC welder. And I got the box, so you can do MIG welding off of it, too. I looked on the wall in there. I didn't realize I wrote it on the wall, but I wrote it on the wall the last time I had started. It was like June of 21. I was surprised. It started right up. You know, I had to jump it. The battery was bad, but it started right up. Ran perfectly. I dumped some more stabilizer in it. I'm going to pick up another can of wreck gas and pour it in it. I think that's the whole trick is just, you know, like you said, use good quality gas and treat it a little bit. I do have plans on using it. I got to weld some patches on my brush hog. And the kid, it's going to sound funny, but the granddaughter wants to learn how to weld. So she wants to learn how to weld. I'll teach her.
Heck yeah, that's a hell of a vocation, too.
Yeah, I've got very, very rusty. I mean, I used to weld every single day, and I haven't welded in years.
What kind of welding did you do?
I did a lot of MIG welding. Everything I did in the shop was MIG. I mean, I put truck frames back together. But, you know, if I was on the road, I had, the exact welder that I've got in the back of my cube van came out of my work truck. So I use that Lincoln. So, you know, that's what I was used to using. I guess what I'm trying to say is it didn't matter to me. If I needed arc weld something, I could arc it. If I needed to MIG it, I could MIG it. I did get to do a little bit of TIG welding. Funny part is I bought the TIG welder. I bought the TIG welder through Waste Management. It was their TIG welder. And I used it to fix the exhaust on my Mustang because it was stainless. That was the only time it ever got used. Right after that, I quit there.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of welding. I'm not very good at it, but I can stick two pieces of metal together. I bought long time ago, 15 years ago or so, I bought a 3-in-1 that does stick, TIG, and plasma cutting.
Yeah, I had a nice plasma cutter. I was a nice guy and loaned it out.
You forgot who you loaned it to?
No, the guy burned it up. You know, it was set up to cut half-inch steel, and he was trying to cut, like, one-inch steel with it, which you could do with it. You know, you just had to take your time. You couldn't force it, and, you know, he forced it, and it burnt something up inside of it. And I got pissed off and threw it away. Even at a high-voltage stuff, I get scared.
I'm notorious for loaning stuff out like that and then forgetting who I loaned it to after it goes on for a while and never see it again.
Yeah, I'm having a case of that right now with my OBD2 reader. I got a vehicle I need to read the codes in, and I don't know where it's at. I have the tuner for my Mustang, but, and it'll do. I've used it on Fords, but I've never used it on Chevys. It's custom built for a Ford. I don't know how it's going to work on a Chevy.
Well, I've got a OBD2 scanner if you need to borrow it.
Yeah, I'll figure out where mine is. Not that big of a deal. I'll find it underneath the seat of the Mustang or something, you know, in the trunk, in the back of the Expedition.
You know, when I bought that welder for TIG welding, I had it in mind that I could do aluminum with it. I didn't realize at the time I got it was DC only, and I guess you have to use AC on aluminum, so it doesn't work.
Yeah, I can't say all of it. 99.9% of the welding I did with aluminum was using a spool gun.
Is that the same deal? Has to be AC?
No, so I hooked it up to my MIG welder. So you powered it off your MIG welder. It's stupid how I ended up getting into the welding at work. I was a transfer driver. We hauled aluminum trailers, and when you backed them onto the garbage chute, if you didn't back them onto the garbage chute correctly, you'd peel one of the inside walls out, you know, like a 4x8 sheet of aluminum. You know, so one day, one of the switchers peeled a sheet, and they needed that trailer in the worst way. And I happened to be in the yard, and they asked me if I could try welding it. And I told them, I don't know, I said, I could try. I cleaned it up using the plasma cutter, and then I grabbed the spool gun, shit, I welded it. After that, I got stuck doing every one of them.
I know the MIG welding's a little easier, but I know, I guess on the TIG welding, the AC breaks the oxide down, where DC, it just leaves it on the top. So that's why apparently you can't TIG weld very good with, aluminum very good with a DC welder. At the time, I thought, turns out I wouldn't have had much use for the aluminum part of it. I thought maybe that I could modify a few intake manifolds for EFI, you know, put injector bungs in them. But it just never really happened.
Yeah. You know, ones that have really, really piqued my curiosity is the ones you see on Facebook. Welders that you see them advertising on there.
Oh, the laser welders. Yeah, me too. Those are pretty cool.
You know, I don't know if it's scam or if it's real, you know. They make it look just way too easy.
There's lots of videos on YouTube. I've been looking at it myself. The price has come down. I mean, it might be a good business to start, but I think you can buy a fairly nice welder for less than $5,000, a laser welder.
Yeah, I haven't even priced them. Yep. I just know, you know, some beautiful welds.
Yeah, but I hear you. So they almost look too good.
There you go. Hey, Warden, you ain't get out of here yet?
Yeah, I'm out here. I'm just listening. Listening to you guys, listening to the radio, you know. Hey, how are you doing, Sharon? I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing better.
Well, awesome. I'm glad you are.
She had her her pulmonary function test today. They put her in a little glass box and have her breathe into a tube. And I don't know, I guess she's like 75% of normal. So I don't know what that means. We still have yet to talk to a pulmonologist. But anyways, we got that done finally.
Well, I don't know. I think 75%, I mean, that's still pretty good in my mind. I'm not sure either.
Yeah, that was just the technician that kind of gave us those numbers. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so, too. I agree with that. It's better than 50.
Yep, I agree, too.
So how was work? Today's a Monday, so probably wasn't that good, huh?
Well, I just did a job change of 5 to 11, so thank God it was only an 8-minute job change. Yeah, so today went good. I ran a finished job all night, but then we're going back into all the garbage the rest of the week.
Garbage! Yeah, your favorite.
Yeah, sure will be this week. Sorry, I told him I'm killing myself doing it. I'm still looking for my ambition.
Yeah, that's been in short supply around here, too.
I know that's right. I can't get to sleep at night, and then in the morning, I don't even want to get up.
Yeah, well, I sleep fine at night, but I had to get up to go to Dennis this morning. Then I didn't drink any coffee, because I realized they take your blood pressure before they do any work, even at the doctor's office. If I drink a bunch of coffee, my blood pressure is always a little bit higher than normal. So if I don't drink any coffee, then it stays normal. It was like 120 over 73. She goes, huh? It's lower than the last time. I said, yeah, because I chugged a bunch of coffee before I came the last time.
We switched to decaf around here.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to be in the same house with her on decaf.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that decaf yet. I need the caffeine or I get the pounding headaches. So I thought I would just make up the coffee drinking at work, but they had coffee, but they didn't have any cups, period. So that didn't work out well either.
Well, I switched to decaf because I thought it might have been a trigger for the AFib and stopped drinking pop. About the only thing I drink now is water. Occasionally I'll drink a pop when we go out, if we go to a restaurant or something. And Sharon switched over just because we have decaf for the Keurig now. And I don't know, the McDonald's coffee is pretty good, so hard to tell the difference, but if you need the caffeine, you need the caffeine.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I get the throbbing headaches, so that's where I'm still sitting at. I told him at work one night, if I was ever did drugs, I would be the person who would have done, like, speed or, you know, I would be the go, 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 not the sit, you know. I don't know what other drugs make you go, go, go. That's the only one I could think of from back in the 70s. I didn't do it back then either, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was never really into that stuff, so I just don't know.
Yeah, Mike and I watched an episode over this weekend, a series. There was maybe only 10 episodes, but it was Belushi Farms. I had Jim Belushi growing weed on his farm.
It's pretty hilarious. Yeah, I like Jim Belushi. He's pretty funny. Is this like a business for him?
Yes, what he does now. It's the Blues Brothers allowed him to use the name. So he sells cannabis all over the U.S. at different places, partners up with people to sell it.
Well, good for him.
Little concerts, him and Dan Aykroyd, and you know, be like, you know, the Blues Brothers, and other than John Belushi actually was the original Blues Brothers, you know, but yeah, it was actually a pretty cool episode. They did 10 episodes, and then they were just saying on Google that they had a re-signed a whatever they call it with Discovery if they were going to do any more or not.
What's the name of the show?
Belushi's Farm.
Do you remember what network that was on, Kerry?
Not off the bat, but I sure, I think it was on the IB Pro. I know it's still got to be on our TV, if that helps.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting in the house. I'm logging into IB Pro now. Let's see what TV is. Your bird's up. He's out. He's screaming for you.
Yeah, and it's coming into town now. Probably it helps if I drove a little faster.
He was calling for you a minute ago.
Hey, Lily. Go Papa Lima.
Go ahead.
Lance, the name of it is Growing Belushi. He found it on that IV Pro?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to... I don't know where... I know it's in my recently viewed, but I don't know where, what program out here I was watching it on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember that Ian, yeah, me either.
This is K-8-E-T-L. Kilo 8, Echo Papa Lima. Anybody copy?
EPL, does anybody copy?
K8 EPL.